Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Jim Copeland's here. He's a good friend. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, director of the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute. He joins us on a regular basis to keep us updated on what's going on out there in the marketplace, especially these days in the area of the influence that unions are having on the marketplace, on corporate governance, especially. And let's get him in here and see what he has to say. Jim Copeland, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Jim, I said this earlier, and I'm going to say it again. I am anti-union. And now, my mother and father were both union members, very hardworking, loyal union members. But they were the folks that I'm not against. They were the hard worker, working folks, paid their dues, et cetera, et cetera. The reason I'm anti-union is because of who is in charge of the unions and what they've been doing with the money that people like my mother and father pay in. And how I don't think my dad, if my dad were still alive and still paying into the union, I don't think he'd like the way his dues are being used these days. And that's the reason why I feel like I do. What do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. It's simply political. It's important to realize that today's union landscape is a good bit different than it was in your parents' generation. The private sector union rates have fallen dramatically in the U.S.
What's it down to, about 7-8%?
Exactly, and
Jim, I want to point this out, from a high of 30% only about 30 years ago.
And the clear reasons for that are the unionized companies have struggled. We saw that with the auto bailout,
right,
and clear relief. And there was just a report that came out in the last week or two. It wasn't my report, but showing how the union political influence was as much as four times as high as had previously been thought when you start counting all the money that the unions are
dropping. Even though their representation has fallen off a cliff, their influence, the financial influence they have in politics and corporate governance has increased significantly.
And it's these public employee unions that are driving this, because public employee union rates are quite high still. And so this is what a lot of us at the Manhattan Institute have been looking at. We've been looking at these public sector pension problems and the public sector pay scale problems, where public sector employees are treated very, very differently than most folks in the private sector.
You mean like the deal that happened last week where Stockton, California, took bankruptcy?
Well, that's the end result of these sorts of policies, because what the politicians have been doing is saying, well, we've got to balance our budget today, so we're going to promise you a lot of pension benefits in the future, or we're going to promise you gold-plated health care deals where you don't have to pay any money towards your health care in the future, and then that eventually mm-hmm. comes home to roost. We actually had Scott Walker, the Wisconsin governor, who,
right,
of course, was facing a recall election, which he won by a greater margin than he did in his earlier election, but precisely because he was trying to restructure the public employee union deals.
Right.
And he made it very clear that he said, we've got a lot of private sector unions, much more than the rest of the country in Wisconsin, but a lot of those folks voted for me because when I made it clear to them, here's the deal the public sector union folks are getting, and they said, well, heck, that's a lot better than the deal we're getting. They were alarmed by,
right,
that, and they thought it was only fair what he was
trying
to do.
So they were paying, their taxes were paying the ticket for these people to have these lavish benefits programs, but I promise you, small business owners don't have those lavish programs.
Well, of course, the small businesses can't afford them, and you know, it's one of these situations where the public employee unions get the good benefit programs, they charge mandatory dues check costs to everybody, and then they use a big chunk of that money as a political force mm-hmm. to stop the elected politicians from doing what Scott Walker did and trying to change the game. And so,
right.
Lo and behold, when you stop making it mandatory to have the dues check off on the public employee unions, a significant number of folks exit, and they're not able to spend quite as much on the political process.
Right,
so.
And that's what happened in Wisconsin, and that's what needs that. They tried to do that in California a few years ago. They were not able to accomplish that, and so what we need to have happen across the country is for union dues and the contribution of union dues to political purposes should be at the discretion of the union member, not the union bosses.
Well, that's certainly, I think, at least for public sector unions, the type of reform that would make a huge difference. And a lot of the stuff with Wisconsin focused on the collective bargaining rights itself, and
right.
and Walker may have stepped into something on that, although he ended up being vindicated, because when once his reforms actually started taking place, people said, well, wait, my property
right.
taxes are actually going down.
Right.
They haven't had massive public sector layoffs, so maybe he was on to something here.
Well, and the other thing, Jim, is that if you want to see what our country will look like in the future if we don't do some reforms, just look at Greece, because the kind of benefits the public sector employees got in Greece that caused that country basically to be bankrupt right now, and all the problems they're having, looks very much like the public sector union benefits in the United States, don't they?
That's exactly right, and it's really what we're seeing here on the state level, and the states that are refusing to reform, Illinois, California, are getting increasingly in trouble. Illinois raised its tax rates, top marginal tax rates, 66% by two-thirds, and they wound up a year later in just as bad a mm-hmm. fiscal condition as they'd been in before they raised
you
those rates. And then when you
can't tax people to cover these commitments. They're too great. They're too out of bounds, really, aren't they?
Well, especially at the state level, income is just, it's mobile. Capital and labor can move, and so it can become very self-defeating
right.
to ratchet up income
right.
tax rates. You've really got to restructure these public benefits.
We've got to do this, folks. We've got to have more Wisconsins in America. Jim, give us the website. Tell folks how they can find out more about the work that you're doing.
Well, the work I do on the legal front is all collated at a site called pointoflaw.com. The corporate governance stuff, which we may talk about in a minute, specifically at proxymonitor.org. And this public sector union stuff, this isn't my site, but it's my colleague's site, is at publicsectorinc.com.
All right, check that out, folks. Jim Copeland and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.